Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art of the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. And that's Billy and Renee Foster singing our new theme song.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yes. Right, nice and open, jazzy thing. This is our weekly programming covering arts and arts entertainment throughout Valpo and Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art in the Air. Our theme music, again, was Billy Foster with the Renee Foster vocal.
Yeah, thank you so much. We love it.
It's absolutely beautiful. Hey, underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this great historic building, the old technical building on 130, you can call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. Thank you both for your generous support. Always thanks and shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, for getting us on the air.
He is the best.
Art in the Air is supported also by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, Southern Shore Arts or South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts related event, exhibit, or appear as an artist, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. So if you can't hear us over on 103.1 FM, you can hear us that way. Also, Art in the Air is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our show archive, where you can listen to all of our past, almost 37 shows, can be heard at breck.com. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. And we also have our detailed arts events calendar that we'll get to in just a moment. So if you miss something on the air, don't get it down. We'll have all that with the hyperlinks and phone numbers and things like that at the arts events calendar, again, at breck.com/AOTA.
You created a really wonderful resource. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. We want to make sure it's easy for you. By the way, our shows are carried on WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IU Northwest. It's an online closed-circuit radio station, and we hope to expand our radio coverage doing that with other stations, and we'll have more information about that. Well, we'd like to talk to you briefly about underwriting the show. If you're a listener, or especially a regular listener to WVLP, you know, we're a community radio station, which means that we are supported by the public, by underwriters, and if you'd be interested in supporting the station, or especially Esther and I would like it if you want to become a supporter of Art on the Air specifically, we'd be happy to read your information at every time we do our show. We have underwriter levels at all things for businesses. We'll mention you not only in our show, but throughout the broadcast day. You can find out more information at wvlp.org/support. That's wvlp.org/support. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting our station. Well, now we're going to go ahead and get to the arts calendar right away.
Yay.
Porter County, well, Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, Brower Museum. Of course, there are one of our supporters, Corey Hegelberg and Brabant Lentling. They are both still there. They'll be going on through, I think, early September. The Village Pines Gallery now has Nostalgic Structures and Scenics by, who is that? Larry Breckner. Oh, my gosh. How about that? And so you can see that. They have a link on our site. You can see that through August 15th. Chesterton Arts Center. They have the works of Deborah Samansky, Sharon Goodall, and Susan Brandsetter. Exhibit called Captured Moments. I saw that exhibit last week on Saturday, and just a wonderful show. And something from a new coming up next month, A Blast from the Past, and we're going to have her on the show, is Melissa Washburn. She's going to be doing all little things, and she'll be hanging her show on August 3rd with an reception on August 11th. So we'll have her on the show to talk about that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Nice to see Melissa.
Mark Vandervine does his critique night every Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month at 7:30. Herb Helm Workshop is still going on going to be July 29th and 30th. They still have a few openings left. It's a two-day watercolor workshop. Leona Gerinci is doing a four-week workshop there. First one will be Prismacolor. Second one is oil painting. You can find all that information at the link online at Chesterton Arts Center. By the way, Chesterton Art Fair is coming August 3rd and 4th. There'll be at least probably close to 100 vendors there, at least 3,000, sometimes maybe 4,000 attendees there. They still have a call. If you want to volunteer, you get in the fair for free, get to wander around and also work. So they're looking at that. Again, information's online with phone number and everything like that. Art Barn. Well, they are ready to do their family workshop tomorrow. That's July 20th, 1 to 3. It is free. So you can go out to the Art Barn with kids. They can build their own little things out there. You can find out information online. Also, Laura Izzard is there with embroidering and imagination, and she'll be doing things there in their gallery space. Also, Robin Feely will be a featured artist in the lobby gallery. You can find out more information about that online at our events page. Depot Museum and Art Gallery, that's July through August. Karen Brown and Alan Spaeth, I saw that exhibit also. It's a wonderful exhibit for both of them, completely different things with fabric and Karen's thing. And you can stop by there. Information, again, is on the link there. That's right along US 12. Right down from there is the Ellen Firm Gallery, and Kevin Firm is doing his pastel drawings and sculptures. He's a professor at Valpo University, and you can find out information, again, online.
He's a genius with pastels.
Yes,
he really
wonderful.
Is.
I saw that. I stopped and saw that exhibit, too. That was one of the many stops I made last week. Finally, Memorial Opera House. Well, unfortunately, if you were going to go see Mamma Mia, it looks like it's sold out. You can still give them a call. Maybe they have a seat there somewhere, or maybe they'll send you a standing room only. But the new thing coming up there is their Line Likes Youth Theater production. They'll be doing a version of Peter Pan Jr. on August 2nd and 3rd. And then on one of those performances, the Saturday performance, they'll be doing Miss Electricity. So it's their youth reach out program from Memorial Opera House. And it's a Line Like Youth Theater. You can find out the information with the link online. So that is what's going on in Porter County. Esther's going to take you to LaPorte County.
And we'll start with the Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way, and Rush is their current exhibit. The Dunes Summer Theater in Michigan City, Michiana Shores actually, will be having South Pacific for one weekend only, July 26th, 27th, and 28th. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, the Chicago Imagists, Before and After. And in the Area Artist Gallery is Nathan Biancardi and Larry Breckner. They have an exhibit running through July. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 Franklin Street. Their new exhibit is Progeny by David Baker. SFC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street is exhibiting the work of Michelle Weiser through the month of July. Southern Shore Art Association, and that gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and their July exhibit is titled Opposites Combined, and that runs through July 28th. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. Artists Do Artists, and that show runs through July 28th. The Canterbury Summer Theater at 807 Franklin Street. The new play is John and Jen, and it's an original musical. And the performances are now through July 27th only. Ness, located 803 Franklin Street. On exhibit is Joel Brussels photographs, and they're all taken with an iPhone 7. The Somewhere Else of Being Here, and that exhibit closes July 22nd at the end of the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent, I know. Da-da-da-da, huge sigh after. But we have a new exhibit opening August 2nd, and that's Robert Serco, Me, Myself, and Eyes, Recent Paintings and Drawings, and he will be our guest next week. Drum Circle at 6:30 every second Friday. Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m., Nick Orbovich and the Chamber Musicians are presenting Violins and Vino, and it will feature Grammy Award-winning nominated musicians in a light and informal program, and we have wine. And they'll be taking questions from the audience. It should be a really special evening. The concert is free of charge, and there will be a cash bar. July 20th, Every Kind of Talent Show, and we'll have the air conditioning on, so beat the heat. Come in, listen to chamber music.
It'll be really cool.
Yeah, it'll be so cool. July 20th, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m., and that's every third Saturday. It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Mindful Movement, Tai Chi Easy for Health and Relaxation. That'll be July 30th, Tuesday at 6 p.m. The class will be for free, and it's taught by Christy Putnam, 5:30. I think it's actually going to be from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., but take a look at the Ness Michigan City event page for the real details. August 10th and 11th, we're going to have a writing workshop with Robert Wolf. Immerse yourself in the world of Jack Kerouac, Gertrude Stein, and Ezra Pound. And then Sunday, the 11th, August 11th, we go deeper into Kerouac, free writing, and the mind of jazz. More events and details on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page. And now Porter.
You know, it's too bad there's nothing going on at the Nest. So you need to go out to the Nest and make Esther very happy with your presence. So a lot of things going
there's
on
like
there.
So many wonderful things happening, and I'm so happy people are choosing to have them at the Nest.
There you go. Well, if you'd like
I forgot the big one, which I had a separate page for.
Okay, here we go. Drum roll, please.
Yes, our guest Doreen Shelton, we have a mermaid gathering and perfume launch on August 17th, and we'll talk about that with Doreen from 3 to 5 p.m. So I won't say anything else about it, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
Because we'll have plenty of time to talk to Doreen.
Yes.
Well, finally, in Lake County, we have the 119th Street Artists at the Cornerstone Art Gallery, their final Concepts and Compositions exhibit that opened last week. I have some pieces in there. It'll be going till August 3rd. And then the final exhibit there, of course, will be the September-October exhibit, Sarah P. Convery. So if you want to see anything left of the 119th Street Artists, unfortunately, talk to their president. They are going to dissolve after this. They just have no way forward. So,
oh, they're not merging?
No,
or
it doesn't look like they're just going to...
Well, I think the artists will just naturally do that anyway, right?
Yeah, they'll probably... Most of the Whiting or North Hammond artists will probably go to Studio 659 and... But they decided that...
Well, there's lots of gallery opportunities everywhere, I'm sure. Everybody will find their perfect place.
So, but Studio 659, which is just down the street from them, they're doing their Metropollination exhibit. It opened on July 17th, kind of an odd opening, not a weekend, but it'll run through mid-August, and they have things about plants, trees, flowers, anything that grows, but in the city. So think of urban farming, windmill, and things like that. You can find out information at their online link there on our page. South Shore Arts, well, they have registration for a two-day, that one's gone. Sorry about that. Didn't take that one off. Bachman Gallery has Renee McGinnis, Tales from the Biosphere. That's still running through August 25th. A great exhibit in the main Bachman Gallery. You can find out information about that. Atrium Gallery, Bob Pomolari, continues with Straight Shooters Photography. That's through September 8th. Toll Theater, Anya Decker, or Aniko as she likes to go by, Between the Real and the Imagined. Now, she has had her reception already, but that'll exist at the Toll Theater through mid-August. Cafe Fresco, Crown Point, Joel Tomasek, Then and Now. He's a nature-based artist, and that'll be going through September. And the annual salon show. There's a call for submissions for the 76th annual show. It's going to run September 14th through November 10th. This is a curated show by David Clayman, a professor and dean of school at Valpo University. So I've got to pick out what pieces I might submit to the salon show. 61, an exhibit celebrating the 61st National Park, which is right on your doorstep here, the Dunes National Park. Anyway, there it's at the Indiana Welcome Center, I-80, I-94, and Kennedy Avenue. And without going into it, there's like all these trail stops. They have sandboxes, anything that represents all the different areas of the Indiana Dunes National Park. Miller Beats and Arts Creative District, In Her Own Style, Robin Feely. She will have an exhibit running through August 4th. She was the original owner of Miller Bakery and Cafe, and she returned to the region. She's doing iconic portraiture. You can find out information from the Miller Beach. Wonderful things there. Slack, otherwise known as the South Lake Artist Cooperative, and they only have a Facebook page. They're exhibiting at the Sip Coffee House China Cat Sunflower, and they'll be running for the rest of the month. And Texture is still running at the Sip Coffee House in Crown Point. They're only on Facebook, but you can find them by going South Lake Artist Cooperative, and we have the link, of course, on our site. Academic College is still looking for adjunct faculty for their digital studio arts and a full-time faculty director. I have the link to their HR page on our events page, so if you're interested in doing that and helping them out, go ahead. And Between You and I runs through August 16th. It's an all-photography exhibit done by Felix Mondolato, by the Hellman Development Corporation, HDC, and it's at the HDC building on Holman Avenue. We have the link on our page, and you can find out more about that. So that's what's going on in Lake County. Hey, is your event not there? Well, why is that? Well, you can make it so easy by emailing us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com, and we love to put the information on the air. And again, it'll be on our event page. We hope to really expand that out. We don't want to read too much on the air because we don't want to make that too long, but we'll put it on our events page.
That's right. We want to know about it.
Yes, and I think then we can share it. And again, it'll be in our rebroadcasts and, of course, in our podcast. So, well, we'll move on to our new guest. Yay. And Esther is just so excited about this. And I am too, because I've never met this young lady before. Doreen Shelton. So she has a whole unique background in both theater, dance, perfumery, so on. But we'll talk to her about that. So we'd like to welcome her to the show. Welcome, Doreen.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really grateful.
We're so excited. Well, let's just go explore your background. from? Where are you originally from? Where you grew up? Where you went to school? You know, all that kind of thing. Before we get into what you're doing now.
Okay. I'm originally from Chicago, Southside girl, and my parents were educators, and so I kind of lived on the campus of the school where my parents taught. And since they were educators, they were also into art and history. And so we spent a lot of time in the summers traveling around. We had all summers off. So we would go to the woods, and my parents would work on archaeological digs, and I'd wander around and traveled the world quite a bit with them. So I lived there until I was on the south side of Chicago until I was 18. And then I moved up to the north side of Chicago and kind of dabbled in going to school and finally finished and rousted around to various Renaissance fairs from a home base of Chicago. So that's where I hail from.
Okay.
Initially, yes.
I one of the things I noticed in the Renaissance fair, which I always found, is that you did wenching.
So. Yes.
I knew you were going to pick up on that word.
I love that.
Yes, wenching. That was
you
tons
did,
of fun.
You said off air, you did mermaid in the morning, yes. Wenching in the afternoon.
I was a mermaid in the morning and told stories to children and, you know, granted wishes and let them hold seaweed and things like that. And then in the afternoon, when everyone had a couple of, you know, a little bit of beer and some ale in them, I would go around and wench. And it took me a while to figure out, well, how do you make money at doing this? And so, you know, I noticed the other wenches were selling kisses, and but I didn't really want to kiss anyone. And so maybe I think I finally kissed someone, and one of the wenches pulled us aside and said, hey, no, it's a whole show, and they never really get the kiss.
Ah.
So that was like one of my first lessons in marketing as a wench. But it was super fun just
and you're hearing on Art of the Air, wenching 101.
Yes, you don't actually kiss them. You put on a big show. Well, first of all, you get a boy and a girl together, and then you get the girl to buy him a kiss, and then you know he's going to behave himself. And so,
very cool. So, yeah, what Renaissance fairs were you at?
I worked at what is now the Bristol Fair. It used to be called the King Richard's Fair. I worked up in Minneapolis and at that fair, and then there was a brief fair called what's the guy who ran around, the Robin Hood Festival, and that was way up in Duluth. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in Maryland very briefly, and Colorado. There was a festival there. So I traveled around for like 2 years doing that.
So your undergraduate degree, back to that, is in?
My undergraduate degree is in dance and theater. I started out in the visual arts at University of Illinois at Circle Campus, as we used to call it.
I know.
And then I exhausted the dance program. I took all the art classes. My mom was an artist, so I started out doing that. And then when I exhausted the whole dance program, I moved to Columbia College and got my degree through there.
Okay. And then you went on for your master's degree.
Yes. Well, I took a number of years off, and I wanted to move to California, and I saw an audition notice in the paper, and so I auditioned, and they said, oh yeah, but it's part of a graduate school program. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's how I wound up in graduate school in California, and then I lived out there for 5 years.
Okay.
Did you get the part?
I did. They put me it was to be part of a company, like a repertory company. I participated with that company for a while.
Great.
Any shows we know of you did, or they were like originals? Or?
They were all originals. It was a first-run company, and so all the plays, we worked with A Man from Russia and the artistic director of the company, so probably wouldn't know of. And then I participated with the Electric Theater Company in Santa Monica, which was a small little theater built in an old electrical warehouse, and it was gutted, and there were various theater companies that would come in and out of there.
Neat.
Yeah. Yes.
So then how did you get back to the region?
Well, I got married and had a baby, and I was actually my husband, who was originally from California, wanted to move to Chicago, and I said, it's really cold there, you won't like it. And so I brought him back in January, I'll show him. So we came back, and while we were here, it was like the record low of 10 years, and I was like, see, but while we were here, our apartment building in Santa Monica was destroyed in an earthquake. So that was the craziest thing. So I took that as a sign that I should probably move back. And I was really happy because my son got to be near his family, my parents. And so that's
and
how
Chicago's
I wound up
a vibrant theater community
yes.
also.
I yes. Mean, I love Chicago.
A lot of people call it the second city, not only just for many things, but you look at the things that have grown out of Chicago, you know, like with the Steppenwolf starting in a church basement, and you know, how theater has just really grown out of Chicago.
Back in the 80s.
And a lot of shows, you know, they used to do the out-of-town tryouts. A lot of times Chicago is the out-of-town tryout for a lot of shows.
Yes, so true. Exactly.
The Producers was actually tried out in Chicago before it went to Broadway.
Yeah.
So that's been enough
amazing.
About that.
Yeah, quite
From
a
Boys
history.
And Dinettes, I think.
Yeah. And I should give a shout out to my lady friends from Somebody's Daughters, Anna and Kiki, who I worked with for eight years.
I would love to know more
about that. Yes, doing our original stuff. And we originally got into that because there was not a lot of stuff for women to do in theater. And we just said, well, we're just going to make up our own stuff.
Right.
And we worked with Fritzi Sahlins as a director, for Fritzi Sahlins from Second City, for many years. And just were prolific performers. That was before I went to California. So,
did you ever go through the Second City programming?
No, did not. But we had Fritzi. So.
Okay, that was good.
Founder of Second City. So
when did
awesome.
The aerial come into your life? Was that?
Oh, I fell in love with it early on, but there wasn't an opportunity, and I actually didn't start training until I was 48 years old. So I picked it up pretty late in life when there was a school opportunity in Chicago. And just became obsessed with it. You know, it was just really a super passion for me. Yeah, to
it's
fly
so beautiful.
Around. Yeah,
too,
I think I had seen Cirque du Soleil maybe back in the early 90s in California, and I just thought, wow, could I ever do something like that? And just thought, no. And then I just went and tried it, and you know, you make little progress here and there, and I'm still.
I know it was always my favorite part were the trapeze artists and the tightrope walkers and anything
so
up in the air.
Yeah. I've always loved.
And the silks are so beautiful.
Yeah.
So
where can we see you do that?
Well, I don't perform very often, but I do perform sometimes at the Acorn at Open Mic.
Okay.
So I'm taking the summer off because it's very hot and the silks get really super sticky. And the higher you climb up, the hotter it gets.
Exactly.
But in the fall, I'll do some more performance. So.
And tell us your relationship with the Acorn Theater. And tell us a little bit about that.
The Acorn Theater is just a place I love so much. In Three Oaks, if people don't know about it, it's a little renovation of a Featherbone factory. So it's a historic building with an incredible acoustics in there. And the house sits about 260. It's a beautiful, beautiful theater.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. People, the performers... they always say, this is one of our favorite places, we're coming home. And the audience loves it. It has kind of an urban chic atmosphere and very casual, but people are really as they are there. And last night we had our singer-songwriter competition, which is a favorite event of the year. And so we have eight finalists come and they compete, and the audience is there, and it's just so touching because they just go crazy after every performance. They're just really invested and loving it. So that was super fun, a big highlight and favorite.
Now, are you involved with the theater yourself, like on the board, or?
Well, I'm actually a staff employee there.
Oh, okay.
I started as a contract worker, and you know, it was like I became known as the goddess of many things because it's just like, well, let's have Doreen do it, the goddess of many things, and the title just kind of stuck. You know, now the theater went nonprofit about 3-4 years ago, and so we've been building and you know adding on staff, and so now I'm a proper staff member. And I work with the executive director and the producers in programming, and I do social media. And
the goddess of many more things
many
now.
More things. Also, and then they put me on bookkeeping, and I was like, I don't know if you want to do that, but it's working out okay. Yeah, I was kind of like, oh no, bookkeeping, they wore me down, and now I'm doing bookkeeping too, so...
Yeah, the artistic brain doesn't do well with bookkeeping in many cases.
It's but I'm okay. I can do little tasks. I'm like, well, okay, just tell me what to do, and you know, so so I do a lot of things.
One for me, one for the theater. One, yeah, there you go.
No.
And how long you been doing that at Acorn?
This is my third year now.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I just stumbled. I wrote them a cold. I really think the fairies directed me there because I went nomad for a year. I really wanted to relocate somewhere. And I wasn't sure where to go. I traveled. I took a year off and went all over the place. I went to Canada and Maryland, back and forth, Bear Plug. You know, Ashland, Oregon was a big consideration. Mexico, Guatemala. I mean, all the doors were open. And then I wound up in the Harbor Country area and just said, hey, this can work. And wrote a cold letter to the Acorn Theater. And
Missy's like, I've had enough.
Yeah. Just like, my dog. Missy's my dog. And she's not really a road dog. So she was ready to settle down. And I just wrote this cold letter and I went in and we just hit it off right away. And I love being around performers. And I love to know that I'm supporting the effort of, oh, and here's an interesting thing. Right before I got hired, I made an intention. I was making perfume and I was listening to music and thinking how much I love music. And I wanted to make an intention to have more music in my life. And then within a couple weeks, you know, it was like, bam. It was magical. It was really magical. It was guided to me.
So kismet really struck here.
Exactly. Exactly.
So besides performing, you have another whole thing in your life. It's called Verdant Fairy.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what that's all about.
Well, Verdant Fairy is a perfume. It's a den of botanical scents. It's also an imaginarium. And it's me. It's who I am. It's an expression of the deepest part of me that is a lover of beauty and freedom and the natural world. And it's also a place in my mind that I would like to welcome other people to, where you can come and explore mythology and the power of your own imagination to become. And it's sort of represented in what is my product now, which is natural perfume. I became trained in natural perfumery, I think, 2014, because I love perfume, but I was cleaning up my life because of health issues that I wanted to have. I didn't want to put synthetic chemicals on my body or eat, you know, bad food. So I started looking at my perfumes, and I said, hey, I could make this. And since then, there's been a whole beautiful burgeoning movement of natural perfumers, and it's really growing, and it's very exciting to be a part of it. So I work with all natural essences, absolutes, and I studied in what's known as the French perfumery method. So I went through a certification course and launched my little line. Actually, the year I was on the road, I put all of my perfume materials in my car and drove around and wherever I could find a place. I'd set up my studio, and that's when I launched my line.
Very good. So, now you had some experience in Chicago with perfumery.
I did. Well, that's where I initially started studying it at home through an online program in Chicago, and then I worked in a little shop, a soap shop called Abby Brown, and I was the resident perfumer there, and that's when I was studying. But actually, when I really was able to launch my line was when I stopped. I was also working as a yoga teacher. I just stopped doing all those things and went on the road and really focused on my perfume. And so that's when I was able to actually get a line together.
Yeah, and you're brilliant at mixing all those fragrances together to come up with something so unique and memorable.
Thank you.
It's like really beautiful.
They're very complex. And they're inspired. My main line that I'm working on, and then we're having the mermaid launch. And so I'm working on four basic fragrances, and this is the second one in the series. The first one is Dryad, and it relates to earth elementals and the fairies of rocks and trees and gnomes and elves. The second one is of the element of water, and it relates to water sprites and mermaids and ondines, as they were known by the Greeks. So it's really exciting to try to capture these
elusive
creatures. Yes.
These elusive. Yeah, fragrances.
Yeah.
Well, and do you have a location for, or is it mostly an online presence? Or?
Yes. Well, I have my own studio.
Okay. So someone can come see that.
Yes, and I actually do individual sessions, too, so people can come and work with me and create their own fragrance, which I've done a couple times, and it's sort of a portrait of a person in scent. And I have some fragrances that actually made it into the line of fragrances because they were just so lovely, like Indra of Spain, and now I have one called Troubadour.
Troubadour is so...
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, it's so wonderful.
Yeah, that one I'm making public in a couple weeks when I get the labels together. And so I have that, and then I have an online store an Etsy, and then my fragrances are also now in an actual brick and mortar over with Esther at the Nest in Michigan City. I have
where
some
her
fragrances
sort of
there.
Permanent pop-up for...
Yes.
Excellent.
Permanent perfume pop-up.
And Esther has such an appreciation for fragrance. She's also a consultant with me. We're going back and forth with the mermaid.
So much fun. Thank you so much. And we've done a rose, like in February, Doreen did this amazing rose program, and if anybody who was there, the mermaid one, you shouldn't miss that one either. It's going to be equally as fun.
It's fun. We're going to talk mermaid facts and lore and fun facts. I'll break down the fragrance. Like in any composition, there could be, in a more complex perfume, there might be as many as 20 different ingredients, and so I'm going to break them down and how they relate to how they relate to the mermaids. And
we're listening to Doreen Stelton telling us all about her background as a yoga instructor, which we haven't even explored it, performance and everything. You're listening to WVLP 103.1 FM, Art on the Air. So excellent. So do you do yoga at all anymore, or do you just do it for yourself?
I do for myself. When I initially moved to Three Oaks, I thought I would open up a studio in this little bungalow, which I did do that, and I had a nice little group of ladies that would come in. And so I did that for a while, but then the acorn kept growing, and so right now I'm not teaching, but I practice on my own, and I do a lot of silks because I have my rigging over at the theater.
Right.
Great fringe benefit.
How often do you have to practice doing that? Because that's something you just, if you walk away from, you have to probably go in and,
Yeah. Yeah, it's you can go once a week, but you won't make any progress. So I actually drive into Chicago. I suppose we should explain what silks are.
Right. I was going to ask that.
Some people might not know.
So, right. And did you already have that upper body strength, or you developed that?
No, I'm a super weakling. Yes. And yes, I have a lot of more strength now. So I'm really grateful to that, my love of it, to teach me that. But so silks is a circus art, and it has two long fabrics that can hang anywhere from 40 feet down to the floor. And the two fabrics you can split or put together, and you climb up and wrap it around you, and you can do, all kinds of tricks, drops, and things like that. And Cirque du Soleil. So that's what silks are. Yes. And so what was the end question?
No, that was okay. It. What are silks? And so you saw that, in California first?
I initially saw a Cirque du Soleil show back in, 1993 or something like that. And, I thought it was just beautiful.
Mm. But you do have to have kind of a dancer form to even endeavor
that
on
that. Helped me. So right. I had some flexibility that I had maintained through yoga, even though yoga is about so many more things besides flexibility. And I understood line from my study of dance, but I really hadn't danced in a long time. And it is, as Esther was saying, a completely different thing, because you need to have upper body strength, like you can't believe, and your lats and, your biceps, which I don't naturally have. So I really had to work on that.
Mm-hmm. So at least once a week, just to maintain where you're at.
Yes, I go to Chicago and I train at Aloft Circus Arts, which is this circus school in an old church in Logan Square in Chicago. So I go there once a week and train, and then I train on my own probably 3 or 4 days a week.
Okay, so it's something you really have to maintain then.
Yeah, and I love it. I mean, I go and I get lost with time. And
you might say getting up on the silks is a free way of getting high, right?
Exactly.
It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. So, So you I one quote I saw that you have is your life is a series of ill-advised choices. So what are some of those ill-advised choices?
Okay, I'd say my latest, greatest ill-advised choice, which worked out the best so far, was to just leave everything in Chicago with no plan. No financial backing. It was just, how am I going to get through this? And I just put all my stuff in friends' attics and basements and, stashed everything around. It was really fun. I actually gave, friends who cooked, I gave them all my cookware and said, I'll come back later. Artists got my art. And so that was really fun. And then I just took off on the road, and wherever anyone would take me in, I would go and stay until they kicked me out.
So kind of the life of a gypsy.
Yes, I was a true nomad. And it was a little unsettling at first. I've always been a person who, feel really financially responsible, and you always got to be set up. So it was, but I just couldn't stay.
It's a leap of faith.
Yes, it was a leap of faith. And what I found was that my friends and people embraced me, and things came up. It was like, well, here you can do this and make X amount of dollars. And And then what I also realized when I was on the road was that what I was really seeking was to just infuse myself in beauty. And that was really what my soul and spirit was craving and causing me to go on the road, because I found myself in nature so often. And I went to a lot of fairy festivals too. And there's this expression of beauty, people in these outrageous costumes running around in the woods. And it was like the Renaissance Fair, only with fairies.
I was going to say, how's that different from the Renaissance Fair?
It's very much
not
like
so much wenching.
No wenching. If anyone wants to go to a fairy festival, they're really wonderful. They're super clean events, they're family friendly. Really beautiful, and you can go in costumes. Most people go in costumes of some sort, and there's, you know,
that's
music.
A fun part.
Lot of music going on, workshops, and yeah.
But what would you take as in a workshop there, for example?
Sometimes in a workshop, they might teach how to make fairy dolls, and they're, you know, so crafting kind of things or artistic expressions. Or sometimes they might have workshops on how to communicate with fairies, meditation techniques, connecting with earth energies, those kind of far or out or woo-woo type things.
Woo-woo type things. Yes. Does this connect to like your mysticism background?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I've always been interested in those kinds of things since I was a child, like my fascination with fairies. I would build little fairy houses in my yard and maintain them and, bring them little gifts. And now I found out later that this is like an actual practice that people do pass down through the Celts or whatever, that you would go and give the fairies
gifts. The fairies and the divas gifts.
Yeah. What's so interesting is because of my parents, who looked into many, many different cultures and their anthropological interests, that these things crop up all over the world. In Mexico, the Mayans have a fairy called the Alush, which is this spirit that kind of hangs out around your house, and they'll watch your crops, but you better take care of it, and don't let your kids go near it, you know.
Yeah, I think every culture does.
Every
Hawaiian,
culture does.
The Menahunes.
The Menahune, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I've always been interested in mysticism and all those kinds of things. I dabbled in Buddhism for a number of years, and, you know, the yogic practice was really powerful, transformative exploration. I've researched general psychic school things, you know, how to move energy psychically, energy healing, which I've had some really interesting experiences with that. Mm. Aromatherapy, which is kind of the whole aroma thing is sort of an alchemical process,
right,
about transformation and how to become. And so that has kind of taken on that aspect for me personally too.
Yeah, fragrance is so evocative. I mean, that pulls Thank us you. Right back to places in our childhood, or, you know,
exactly.
Fragrance is really powerful.
Fragrance is super powerful.
Like food things take you right back to childhood. You smell a food or something like that reminds you of that, and it takes you right back there. So aromatherapy, relationship to perfumery, how's that?
Aromatherapy is the practice of using essential oils for healing, and people go through really extensive training, and they're very knowledgeable about that. I am not an aromatherapist, but I kind of pick up a little bit of stuff along the way. Natural perfumery is really just an expression of, it's an artistic expression, whereas aromatherapy is a healing modality. And so aromatherapy would also be a little less complex, where you would only work with three scents or three essential oils, or maybe even just one. But a perfume fragrance can be very complex and have bass, middle, and heart notes, and be composed of different chords and very evocative, like you say.
And I find your fragrances very healing as well. I mean,
yes.
And, you know, I wear different ones throughout the day depending on, you know, what I want to smell, or I don't know, they're so beautiful.
Yeah,
and they blend so, like, the individual perfumes blend so beautiful, or I find that they blend so beautifully together as well. So I'll create a whole new perfume.
Oh, nice.
Now, the Verdant Fairy, I see you have a tea salon also. Is that
no tea salon? Oh, in my house, yes, I do. I call that, well, when I moved into the house, I left the living room empty for a yoga studio, and then the room that would be the dining room, I have like a little sitting room, and I call that the funky tea salon.
Ah, okay. All right.
So, yes, we like to sit in there and have tea. So oftentimes before yoga class, we'd sit in the tea salon and have tea before or after. And that sometimes it would be hard to get people to go into the yoga studio because the tea salon
became so comfortable. Yeah.
But I am a big tea fan, yeah. But it's not really open to the public, 12 to 2, tea is served kind of thing. Although, yeah, come on over.
Come on over. You heard it right here on WVLP. You got an open invitation.
So going back to California.
Yes.
And I read, you know, that do you have the independent film that you did? I mean, do you have access
yes.
to it?
Yes.
So we should have a screening.
Oh, that would be fun. It's called Cook Sue, and I've known the film director for many years, and he kind of wrote this for me. It's kind of about me. It's this young woman who goes off. She's being raised by her uncle. It's probably like 1920s or something. And she's being raised by her uncle, and her uncle wants to send her to a finishing school. Well, she's not going to have any of that. So she takes off out into the wilds, which was fun to film because most of it was outside. And she's looking for this spirit called Kuksu, which she's kind of imagined. And she does end up having this kind of mystical experience with this creature. Kuksu is one of the tribes. There were many tribes out in the Northwest, and Kuksu was one of the many tribes mm-hmm. there. And so it was really super fun to film in all these old places. And, you know, it's this girl, she has like these crazy notions, and she, you know, makes things up. And in the end, it has a really happy ending. But yeah, I think it's available on, I think you can buy it. What's the, where did they sit? Probably from Amazon. You could probably rent it or buy a DVD. I have several copies somewhere.
We should really
it would be
we
fun.
Should do
okay.
a screening.
Let's have a screening.
A screening at the Nest.
Yeah. The director is Peter Babakidis, and he's still out in California making films and stuff. So that was actually the impetus for moving to California, was I went out there to work on the film, and I just fell in love and just said, that's it. And somebody's daughters had split up at that time. We had done our 8 years and we were done. And so I just said, Mom, I'm going out there.
So did you have a particular venue that the three of you in Chicago performed at? Yeah, or was it a variety?
We went all over, and sometimes we would work at art galleries, and so we'd go to perform.
And what was the time frame on that?
I would say we started working together in like 1980. I remember, okay, our first performance.
So how did I miss
was the,
you?
I don't know. Our first performance was we knew some rock bands too. So our first performance was opening the exit on Belmont.
Yeah,
remember
of
when that opened?
Yes.
Which I wasn't even old enough to actually get into at the time. So I remember trying to do something really crazy. I didn't know anything about makeup. I remember trying to do something crazy to get in, which nobody cared back then anyway. Yeah. So we opened the exit, and so we worked at nightclubs, art galleries, and then sometimes we would rent a theater. We our longest running play was at Cross Currents, which ran for, I don't know, like 2 months or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We did a series of, and sometimes at Lynx Hall. Our first like full length show was at Lynx Hall, and I think it lasted 3 hours. And the admission was $3 or a six pack or something like that. Well, you can imagine everyone brought six packs, and so we decided we shouldn't do that anymore. But it was great. They were called documentaries, and they were sort of based on a thematic thing.
Was anything ever filmed? Do you have any of that on?
You know, it was filmed, but it's when you try to film something that's not intentional, you just don't get it because you don't have the energy. So the filmings were always disappointing.
I wonder if now, though, that they would be. Maybe at the time they are because it's not the energy that you felt, but maybe in retrospect,
yeah,
you'll
but
find
it was
a charm
before
in it.
It was so easy to film everything, so a lot of those things, you know, even like a photo session would be, you'd have to take the pictures, and then someone would go to a dark room and send you these little sheets, and you'd look at it through a little glass, and go, well, that one looks kind of nice, can we pick it up? And then they would take it, then they'd lose the negatives, and, you know, it's just different back then. Hard to document.
Ah, yes. Now, you besides Missy, who is your dog, you have a son.
I have a son, yes.
And what's he doing?
Miles is, he's going to be, oh my gosh, he's 26 in August, and he's living out on he's living in California, which is actually where he was born. He's been trotting around up and down the coast out there, and he works in animal rescue and preservation, nature preservation. So, he's worked with the owls, which in Oregon, where he would traipse around in the woods all night hooting like an owl. And he carried like a backpack with an owl hooter, and then he would try to recognize, I think it was the spotted owl or the bar, I'm not sure which one. It was an endangered one. So he'd try to find where they were so they could declare the land the area protected.
Protected, yeah.
Yeah, so he did that, which involved him running around in the woods all night. So that was a fun job, but also kind of intense. And then he went down. He's had several gigs down in around Ventura working with the California condor, which are also endangered. So he would go out to the desert and, sit around and wait to spot them. And they had some that they had released back out into the wild again. And so he picked up on my love of nature.
Well, I know. Good. Did he have a similar childhood as yours? Yeah. I mean, did he spend a lot of time in the woods?
I was always dragging him out to the woods. Yeah.
Did he appreciate it then?
At the time, it was kind of like, nah, but I think in the end.
It rubbed off on him.
Yeah, completely.
You're listening to Doreen Shelton on Art on the Air, WVOP 103.1 FM. So you did have a great influence on raising him that way and everything.
Yeah, he was great.
The California condor is they were on what they call a critically endangered list, and they've moved up a little bit. It's still endangered, but so there has been progress there.
Yeah, it has been progress. Yeah, they had a couple of older ladies that they were, they not able to make it in the wild, so they were using them to have babies, and he said those are his favorite. They sold vultures. He complained. What is the show where there were all the old ladies living in the house together? The television show.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean with
It'll come to us. But he said it was like that all the vultures reminded him of that show, and they were his favorite.
Oh, with B. Arthur, that one?
Or? Yeah, B. Arthur and Betty White.
Yes,
exactly. The Something Girls.
Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls. Yeah, he said the vultures remind him of the Golden Girls.
You have to have a special love for vultures because of their heads, because it's like,
He loves all the sad, crazy. He really liked naked mole rats when he was a kid.
Yeah.
We went to the zoo, and he would be like, can we go look at the naked mole rats, which are actually really amazing animals, I've recently learned. They are able to survive many, many things.
Right.
But anyway, he always loved those kind of lost, crazy things. And he's the one who picked out Missy, the very, very shy dog. And I said, are you sure you don't want one? And he was like, no, this shy one. And she's a gem.
Kids do that. They've got something like that. So anything in the future you're visualizing, or you're busy with the Acorn Theater.
Super
so that's
busy with
super
the Acorn.
Busy.
We love the Acorn, yeah.
And so that's got you. But I mean, is there other things? You think you might go on one of these journeys again? Or
I'm always dreaming about going on a journey. I feel pretty settled right now where I am. And I'm really focusing on my perfume line and enjoying doing my silks, my hobby. So, because that was very hard to do when I was traveling around. Like, I would sometimes find a place where I was traveling, but my regular training thing now, which I do just for love. So little trips, but I don't have any big journeys planned. I'm a little bit settled right now, which is unusual because I'm a real nomad gypsy type.
So tell us
nature.
About some of the things that we might see at the Acorn Theater, like different, like what types of acts or, things?
We have all sorts of different shows coming in there. And since it's mostly musical things, we have a turnover, so every weekend can be a different show. Tonight is a show called Respect 2, and it's a grouping of women from the local area, and they're kind of canvassing women in rock and roll through history. They kind of play the characters, and they also sing all the songs. So it's anywhere from Blondie and just all the different rock and roll goddess types. So that is tonight. And as I said, we just finished the singer-songwriter competition. Our open mic nights are incredibly popular and really, really amazing. They're a curated event, so the talent is pretty top-notch. And we've created a really beautiful listening, quiet culture there. So people come and listen, even though we do have a bar. It's not people just yabbering and some poor musician just, people are listening to you and there's professional sound, and the audience love it. So we have that. And we have some big name acts coming up. Graham Nash is coming in the fall, which is huge.
Big.
And the Bodines, which is just sold out. And we also have some fun folk musicians coming through, a lot of bluesy things. Corky Siegel is there Saturday, who's been coming to the Acorn since he was, you know, since forever. He's just amazing. So he's going to do a solo show on Saturday night, playing the harmonica stuff.
Yeah. Oh, just him. Wow.
And just him. Yeah, yeah.
And then sometime in the fall, we'll see you again, correct?
At some point, yes.
So we can mark our calendars and go see you on the silks.
Yeah, I'll put it on Facebook. So if
I want to talk about perfume a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
So what space, like when you, like with the mermaid perfume, where do you start?
That's a really interesting question. And I went back and forth on that. I was trying to think, well, am I making a portrait of this mermaid Ondine creature? Or am I trying to evoke the ocean or fresh water? And so I ended up doing a bit of each. And so the different fragrances that I use kind of remind me of the aspects of a mermaid. And I wanted to create this freshness of the water. And so I have a little bit of notes of spearmint and neroli, which is an orange flower blossom. And so it's kind of this fresh woof that you'll get.
And it is. You feel it as a breeze.
Yeah. So you want I wanted it to have that aspect. And then I also wanted to capture the qualities of the mermaid, which are really seductive and alluring, but also maybe a little bit dangerous. And for me, I feel like the water creatures in the true tale of the Ondine, who is a creature without a soul who wants to fall in love with a man, and that's how she gets a human soul. So she's also very vulnerable because she's dependent upon the man to keep her, to be faithful to her in order for her to stay alive. So there's this really complex things going on with the mermaid.
Yeah.
There's the alluring siren quality, the little bit of dangerous. There's just the ethereal beauty of it, and then there's the vulnerability. So I was trying to think in terms of what fragrances mean that to me, and I used a little bit of seaweed absolute to kind of capture that dark, dangerous, and something called orris flower butter, which is this very complex, kind of powdery, rich, very, very ultra female scent. And then in the heart note, I went for jasmine because I was thinking of that jasmine and champaka flower. And champaka is an Indian flower, and it's very exotic. And jasmine is also very exotic and alluring.
Yeah,
so I was trying to combine those various elements of the of kind of what the psyche of a mermaid would be if you did a, like, there's a thing called synesthesia, which is if you smell something, you might see a color, or you associate a number with a color all the time. And in fragrance, so what that fragrant, what the smell evokes in your mind, it could create a portrait of a place that you've been to, but it also can go into a sort of a fantasy of what things might be. And so I tried to think of the fragrance, the essences, in terms of how they would represent aspects of the mermaid or the water elements. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And when you smell, come to the event and smell this perfume in person, and you'll see or smell exactly what Doreen is talking about. And that cool breeze of spearmint comes through, but it's so multi-layered that it changes over time. And all these fragrances that she's talking about, you do experience them at different times as you're wearing the perfume.
Yeah, that's what was fascinating to me, particularly in this one, because this fragrance had opened up pretty intense for me, and it's still aging, so I'm seeing where it'll go, and I might tinker with it more, but it opens up almost with a rich, super rich darkness, and then as it dissipates and warms to your body, it almost softens.
It does. It powders
out.
And the
breeze comes, the freshness comes through a little bit later, which was fascinating to me.
It was me too, because it was like just all of a sudden, this like very coolness
opens,
came over.
It opens up into that. And then it goes again back into the
the murky kind of ness.
So the fragrances will react with the temperature of your body and also your body chemistry. And that's the beauty of working with naturals, too, is they're very changeable, and you don't know exactly what's going to happen. Whereas if you're working with synthetic aroma chemicals, they're much more stable, and they just do their thing.
They smell the same.
And there's more mystery with natural essences, And this one was really fascinating to work on in that way.
So beautiful.
No, thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you like it.
So how is it different when you work with somebody to do, like Indra, to do a fragrance for her?
Spain.
Like, yeah. And she's a good friend, I know. But
yes.
Let's say somebody is not a good friend. How do you start?
Ah, well, I worked with Patty Schaffner recently.
Oh,
we made
yeah.
a fragrance. And she loves fragrance and she loves naturals. And so she came to me with it. And I said, well, what are your favorite things? And so we took out all of those. And then I said, and then I have the knowledge of what will either make that exalt, will bring that fragrance out and support it, or maybe complement it nicely. And so I brought out an array of other things. Try not to burn out her nose, because you can't smell too many things at once, otherwise your nose just breaks, right? And not permanently, I mean, it comes back. But so I tried to figure out which would appeal to her. And so she had her core, like she said, well, I really like, I forget what it was. And she wanted a green kind of scent, an earthier green scent. And so I pulled out the fragrances from my library that I thought would complement those things. And then she picked them. And she actually wanted a solid perfume, which is the essential oil suspended in jojoba oil and beeswax. So you could put it on like a cream. And so we poured it right then. It didn't have to wait for it to age or anything. We just mixed it right up.
One curiosity back to the mermaid thing. Do you still have your fin and do you still wear it sometimes?
yes.
So do you you're right now not going to the fairy festivals as much, but...
Yeah.
But
well, a fin is harder to work with, as a matter of fact. And
right,
my mythology had to work with how I could have split legs. So I actually, back then, I had a costume where I had sewn sequins all down my legs. And I remember riding to my first gig in the step van. I was traveling in the hippie step van. And I remember sewing on the sequins one at a time and poking my legs. It was so like mermaid-esque, you know, like the pain of
the torture. The torture.
You suffer for your art.
And I dyed it. I had made this costume. I had taken a new unitarn and I dyed it from green to the waist down. And... yeah, and sewed each sequin down the legs. And so part of my mythology was that when I came to land, my legs would separate, but at night I would go back in.
Oh, excellent.
And they would come back together.
Oh,
so,
how
yeah,
neat.
Yeah.
If you see the picture of her on our webpage, you know that Doreen kind of looks like the classic Little Mermaid, everything like that. The controversy, though, about the new Disney mermaid in the live-action version, have you seen that? Where they cast the African-American girl as Ariel. And a whole bunch of people are all upset about that. And I'm like, so?
Oh, isn't that sad? Why did they have to go there?
I know, yeah. I know. They're just taking Disney on. So any final thoughts? We have about a minute left here.
Oh, no, I just hope that you'll come to the event at the Nest. I'm really happy to be here.
That's
August
17th.
August 17th at the Nest in Michigan City.
3 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yes, we'll have fragrances there. I'll bring the elements of the Ondine perfume and also the finished product.
And probably some seaweed tea, because we always like to, at the rose thing, we had rose tea and rose hip spread. And
yes.
So, yeah.
And, well I'm online, Doreen Stelton. On Facebook or Instagram, and also Verdant Fairy. So you can find me that way on Instagram and Facebook or my website.
And I'll put the links on our arts events page.
Great.
Well, we thank you for being here for Art in the Air.
Thank you so much.
It's an excellent, excellent show. And you've been listening to Art in the Air. I'd like to thank our wonderful guest today, our own Little Mermaid here in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. with your hosts Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks to Greg Kovach once again, our station manager. Underwriters for Art in the Air is Broward Museum at Valparaiso University and Walt Breidinger, manager and owner of this wonderful building. Art on the Air is also supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant. Again, if you're interested in being a guest or sending information about your arts-related event, or exhibit, or whatever you want to tell us, send it to artontheair@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to do that. Next week, we have Robert Serco on, and he'll be on as our wonderful guest. So we hope to see you right here next week on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way.
and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.